Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cup. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that sound. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wiggling.
Yeah, yeah, this is Cassidy, the hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw. And you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Kids, what it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
Man,
to young man, one thing I can say, everything real. Ain't no flowing around, man. Ain't no camping around, man. Everything real, man.
Straight up, this original.
Ain't
OG,
no flowing,
you know? Y'all know who this is.
Everything real.
Fly money clothes. That is Wall Street. Y'all looking at the genius behind it right here.
Everything back in motion. What's the deal? I'm your host, King Eric the Media Assassin, and you are now tuned in live and direct for Off the Cuff Radio for this hour. And this show is sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment, Schoolball Radio, Da Vinci Clothing. And I got my host, T-Max, with the facts on the line. What's good?
What it do, y'all? Another fantastic Friday on the freshest frequency. That is OTC. Shout out to our co-host of Phil Austin and Lady Chinchilla. And, of course, DJ Sincere Dirty Bass on Radio. We are live and direct. And we got another championship chapter in the books ready to rock. So, King, tell everybody about who we got tonight.
Yes, sir, man. Coming out from Texas. Big shout out to the Realists for making this connection happen. One of our good supporters within the Off the Cuff Radio brand. This guy here is making a whole lot of strife within the industry. And you know, when the big homie that's in lockdown, Suge Knight, is listening to you and put your music on his podcast, you know you got something special. He always said he had that eye for superstars' talent. And, you know, listen to this guy's music. That's proof of the valuation of what we are seeing with this show. Because what we want to do, we want to focus on the underdog. We want to focus on people that's really from the mud and putting out that real music. And this guy tonight is doing all that in one, and he's just getting started. So what's all welcome? Triple D Youngin', y'all.
What it do, what it do?
Hey, what's going down, man? It is Triple D Youngin', man. I am the voice of the trenches, man. Big shout out to Off the Cuff Radio, man. I appreciate y'all for having me. Shout out to the realest man out there in Canada, man. The Free Sugar Night, the Fast White, man. Free the Big Homie.
Absolutely. Triple D, look, you definitely got that dope on the scale in terms of kicking that rhyme, man, with no fail, man. It's great to have you with us. Like King said, obviously you come from a great cosign in terms of Suge Knight and the Realist, two solid individuals. We're grateful to have you with us. I guess we get right into it. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself. Yeah.
Man, I am Triple D Younger, man. For those that don't know, man, I reside in Dallas, Texas, represent for Dallas, Texas, everything I do, man. Shout out to my city, shout out to my state, Texas, man. Shout out to everybody else that tagged in, that's tuned in. You know what I'm saying? It's just a whole bunch of real shit going on. Grind, gritty, G, and man. Oh, man, I've been doing this shit since I was 8 years old, man. So I'm not just a rapper, man. I'm an artist. I really am, man. I got shit with some of the hottest artists in the game. CJ Casino, Bugatti Casino, the Triple D Go, Mr. Lucci. Fat Pimp, I'm talking about, man, we doing real big shit like we always do, you know what I'm saying? And man, Big Suge reached out to me, the Riddles reached out to me, man, so I got that whole situation getting connected from Texas to Caddy, man, and once again, he plugged me in with y'all, man, some real genuine people, man, so I just want to shout that off the cuff again, man. What's going down?
Man, look, you got so, definitely, I mean, you represent for all of Dallas, man. I mean, South Boulevard, Cedar Crest, South Dallas, Crocktail, Love Field, 5 Mile, Eagle. You definitely putting it down for the town. You said you've been doing this since you was 8 years old. Who were some of your inspirations in terms of who got you into the rhyme game?
Man, some of my inspirations, man, honestly, man, is Oh, man, you put me on the spot with that one, man. First and foremost, man, I do got to get with the people like Pac. I was motivated, and I got some of my sound. Another person from up north, man, 50. When 50 Cent came out with that Get Rich or Die Trying, man, he took over the whole industry with that shit, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that was a big influence on me. Lil Wayne, way back in his Hot Boy days, though, you know, BG. Juvenile, man, just like some of the original, some of the real OGs, Boosie, Wizzy, you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of, it was a mixture, because like I said, man, I'm an artist, I'm not just a rapper, so shit, it's a little bit of everything that's going on there.
Definitely. When you think back to that time in terms of when you said 50 Cent, of course, with Get Rich and Wayne, were big inspirations for you. For a lot of our listeners out there, tell everybody about that time in terms of hip hop, just what it meant to you in terms of not only them, but just the whole music scene in general, in terms of what it meant for artists to come out, to get known, for the videos, to be featured in magazines, all of it.
Look, man, you know what, man, back then, man, when I seen 50 do his thing and take over the industry like he did, man, it was really something amazing because we had some real talent going on. You got to remember, this was like the top part of 2000. So, you know, you had other great MCs like Eminem. You had Wayne when he was just in the midst of making his transformation from Lil Wayne from the block to the quarter. You had, it was a lot of great artists. The competition was really, really thick back then. Luda was still doing his thing, dropping hits. Man, it was shit. He was still in the game. That was the time, man, and he just showed his muscle, his consistency, like with the shock jock value. He did what he had to do to get people attention. See, a lot of people don't remember 50 dissed the whole industry multiple times. And that's what got the attention on him, and then he was able to say, hey, this is who I am, this how I'm rocking, man, and this how we going to get it type shit. So, man, it just back then, the sum that I look, I say it was a bunch of competition. You had to be on your point. You had to be on your toes, man, to even aspire to be a rapper. It wasn't even nothing easy or nothing to play with. It was too much competition up there.
Absolutely.
And you know what's crazy is Nelly talked about that too, man. He talked about how competitive that time period was from the 2000 to 2004. Like, every big dog was dropping at that period. And you had to pretty much hold your own.
Yeah, man. It's and that's an element of the game that we need to get back, because there's nothing wrong with skin the competition, man. You know what I'm saying? It always steel sharp as steel, man. So you got to think, man, people like Busta and them, the niggas gonna become ghosts just by not having no competition, by just, no. It was headhunters out there. We need to bring real music back, and then on top of that, man, we need to bring competition back, man. The real MC is just the order rap all together. Because everything that I'm talking about, if you sum it all up, is nothing but the art of hip-hop, the art of rap. So we just need to get back to the basics of that. If we do that, then we can put our culture of music specifically back in a good place.
And one thing you said about competition, Triple, it's always, hip-hop as we've known it was birthed, you know, in terms of when the rhyme became a major element of it. It was always about repping your hood, repping your crew, you know, and always kind of interacting with the other sides of it from a lyrical. And it was always, like you said, inherently competitive. But in recent years, we have also seen those situations where the competitiveness has escalated into mass casualties. Where does the competitive stop and the seriousness start, and how do we avoid those calamities of unnecessary losses in the game over them culture?
Man, it's an easy call, but only if it was easy to actually implement it into actions, man. We just gotta put respect back in everything, man. You know, it was once upon a time that the real gangsters, the real street niggas, you know what I'm saying? We don't, like where I'm from, we don't play with death. We don't say we smoking on this pack or smoking on that pack. It's some young generation that's trying to do it now, but that's not nothing that's original. That's not nothing we co-sign. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I ain't nothing but 30 years old, bro. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, nah, man. We don't. It's a level of respect that needs to come back to the game, man. There's nothing wrong with competition at all, but when you get to play with people's kids, they live their heads, they families, man, you got to be prepared to say what come with it. You know what I'm saying? It's not one real man that I know that will let you jeopardize one of them three things without him pressing your ass. You know what I'm saying? To put it in the politest way. You know what I'm saying? So I just...
Right.
Yeah, man, you put respect back in the game. You know what I'm saying? I just smoking on my partner. You going to the graveyard or rapping by his headstone, but you asking to die. I mean, if you really look at it, the real street dudes, OG, how have you looked at them situations? I know y'all doing the interview, but when you first started, before it got normal, how it is to us now, when we first started seeing shit like that, how did it look to you? Like, you looking like, man, a nigga finna smoke him. Somebody finna do something to him for doing some shit like that. Like, it's just, that whole type of energy is just bad. So when you bring respect back to it, you still put that pressure on him. You know what I'm saying?
Nigga, and it's real like that, because I think when we look at this generation, you know, me and my bro, we're older. So we came up in a different time of understanding what it meant when you said certain things on wax. You know, coming up, we just had the video shows. We had the magazines. We don't need to rehash history with a lot of artists that have lost their lives in it. Everybody knows the stories of so many, you know, Tupac, Biggie, you know, so many countless others. But we also knew during that time that even then, when you had artists going back and forth, like when LL and Kumo D would had their spats, you know,
right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, when we see, you know, Ice-T, you know, and even LL had gotten into it for a second. We always looked at it from, there was shit talking here and there, because that's going to happen, even with Nas and Jay-Z. But we never, ever, ever looked at it from a perspective that them niggas was actually going to go to the guns with each other. And mind you, Triple, this is before social media really becomes into play. So it carries, like you said, a different life when niggas talking about they smoking on a pack, they going to do something to somebody.
Yeah.
Because the game is elevated a lot more now in terms of not only saying it on a track, but when you're doing videos out there and niggas actually see you, like, you know, holding up somebody dead, homie, or you holding up the, you know, the stick.
You're not pouring out Hennessy in his casket. You're pouring blood.
Yeah.
Crazy.
These dudes going extra with it. But I want to get you guys' thoughts on this. What do you got? I don't know if you guys heard this today, but we hear that Kendrick Lamar threw his name into the hat. He wants the static with both Drake and J. Cole. Now, what do you guys think about the track? I'm doing a little pivot right now because it just hit my radar early.
Mm-hmm. D, go ahead.
Man, you know what? I'm going to be honest. I seen something about it, but I never listened to the track, though.
Reading the lyrics, and social media is going all ham right now about it, because once again they're speaking on something that may or may not have been a long-standing rivalry between Kendrick and Drake, and even Kendrick and J. Cole to a certain degree. Even though I don't know where the whole J. Cole thing started, more directly with Drake. They say that Kendrick has had, it's implying that he's had some type of long-standing issue with Drake. But if we know Kendrick, you know, that infamous track, you know, King, what was that years back when he did that track? The Control joint, where he basically said he's the best out there. If you know Kung Fu Kenny, you know his lyrical genius has always been on the next level. He's one of the top tier talents of this generation, and definitely of all time. So for him to make such a bold declaration, I don't think is odd, because he's kind of said this before. I think we'll wait to see exactly in terms of.
Yeah, he said in the lines, "Fuck the big three. I am the big three," or something like that.
I mean, it was ill. He basically saying, "I'm by myself."
The illest line, I'm reading the lyrics now, the illest line he had of it, he said, "Prince outlived Mike Jack." And I'm like, whoa. Nigga going there.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, Triple, from an artist declaring their rhyme supremacy on wax, what does that mean to you for someone to have that type of confidence, let alone to state it publicly, of their domination in the game?
Oh, I think he got dropped. He's going to pick back up.
Okay,
he got dropped. He's going to call back.
Okay.
But yeah, man, I'm like, right. I'm looking at some of the lyrics here, and I'm like, it's kind of ill. Mm-hmm. Money is
I mean, we know Kendrick is always going to bring the heat. I mean, obviously, he rolled out of bed and decided he was going to light one up and let it go. look, shout out to Rashidi Harper. We had him on the show a couple of years ago, because Rashidi, I saw, posted on his IG page, the director of Headliners, of course, with Kevin Hart and Chris Rock, and on Netflix. And, you know, Rashidi is born and raised L.A. You know, he knows all those guys. So when he posted it, I mean, Rashidi is like 1,000% behind Kendrick. Like, he stood on business.
Hey, man.
Home
team.
Yeah.
Not normally, I would have played it on here, but, you know, we're moving in a different vein right now, because y'all used to break all the rules and play records that was owned by these labels just to do it. But they put a block to where if you play certain records, they won't let you upload the shows on YouTube. So I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let you guys just hear it for yourself.
Right.
you know, we going to follow the guidelines a little bit. Because, see, that's what we used to do. We used to jump out the window and just play those records. We ain't care. We broke them earlier episodes of Off the Cuff Radio. We broke all the rules.
Man, look, they done cut the parachute now, so we got to be careful. Look, dude, I actually was shouting out Uncle Luke today on his page. You know, because if y'all haven't checked out the Freaknik documentary on Hulu, y'all need to check it out. It is amazing. The whole history. Shout out to our girl guitar, Gabby, because as it turns out, King, we interviewed her a few months back. It turns out that her mother and her aunt were two of the four co-founders of Freaknik. Who would have thunk it?
Oh, what?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's a great documentary, y'all. You want to know the history of one of the wildest parties ever in black culture history? Shout out to Luke and Jermaine Dupri for taking the time, the meticulous effort, the love, you know, and the labor of passion to bring that project to fruition. Great job, guys. Absolutely great job.
Now, there was another version now. I think that was like two different Freaknik documentaries. Like, what they're going to do. Hulu was going to do one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is another version.
Well, no, I think it's the same one that Luke and Jermaine Dupri did. I was actually, what you said about the rules earlier, I was actually trying to shout out Uncle Luke out on the page. And like you said, you got to be careful because Instagram flagged me for a comment. And I wasn't even saying nothing crazy. I just put PSA.
It's weird like
but
that.
But those algorithms come in and they'll make it sound like it's something that it wasn't, and like your intent was not even what they tried to say that it was, but they hit me with a thing and took my comment down. So, you know, you got to be careful with what you put out there. But you know, here on Off the Cuff, anything we do on the show, anything we do on social media, is not to disparage, discredit, disrespect, or do anything to disrupt anything. You know, we're all about trying to keep the positive vibes, and we're just going to speak our mind with, you know, within reason and respectfully.
Definitely check out that documentary as well. If anybody's listening to the show until Super D call up, call number 516-531-9596 if you want to give us your personal opinion about Kendrick Lamar versus Drake and J. Cole. He's taking on two niggas with one glove. I ain't never seen nothing like it. I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to tag Big Sean into this shit?
It's always crazy because Big Sean always seems to be the unwitting victim in all this. He always seems to catch a stray somehow just by being there.
Yeah, they always sleeping. They always slapping him.
Yeah, you know,
so they figure he the safe rapper. They figure he the safe rapper.
Yeah.
These niggas be slapping Big Sean around for no reason at all, man.
Yeah, but shout to Sean, man. You know, a veteran for over a decade, distinguished, does the city of Detroit so proud, man. And is still doing it to this day. When we look at the game and we look at a lot of, you know, it's funny now when we see, you know, King, about how many of these artists, you know, we're in our 40s, not afraid to say it, not ashamed. When we look at all those guys
let me say this right quick, bro. These young niggas, man, they be sitting there talk about, oh, we washed up, or you old niggas. Look, man, we proud of our ages at the end of the day. Y'all looking like walking death out here, bro. Y'all look like y'all ain't brushed your teeth in almost 5 years, man. Y'all looking like zombies out here. Cut it out. We proud of our age and proud of how we move. We ain't flabby and sick at 25. Our hairlines are still short.
Hey, absolutely. You know, it's crazy. When we think about it, Big Sean's been in the game for over a decade, almost 12, 13 years. Rick Ross has been doing this, you know, really finding his lane since 2006. Jeezy has been doing this, you know, finding his lane for almost 20 years when he dropped his debut back in 2005, you know, his major label debut, rather. Gucci, you know, almost the same amount of time. T.I., over 20 years. To see that generation of artists, I mean, Nas is still going strong after 30 years. Jay, you know, Jay-Z, you know, Wu-Tang. It's amazing to see the longevity and the legacy that all these legendary artists have laid down in terms of still doing it at a high level and still being contributors to the culture in such a profound and impactful way. King, what do you have to say about that?
Go ahead again. I got zoomed out. My bad.
I'm just saying, with all the artists that we've seen, like Ross, Jay-Z, Nas, Big Sean, Gucci, over 20 years, 30 years strong, T.I. and all of them, what does it take to the testament of what they've done in the culture and still being impactful and influential to this day in their contributions?
Niggas just make good music. That's what it boils down to. You make good music, you're going to stand out. They'll tolerate your fuckery even if you make good music. 50 Cent proved that.
Yeah.
If you make good music, if you consistent with your music, they're not going to give a damn what you do. They're not going to care.
Yes.
I mean, that's just common American culture.
That's true.
They're not going to cancel you if you hit home run after home run after home run. As long as you put ashes in seats, as long as you're a draw, that's all you have to do. You'll get a pass forever.
I mean, look.
So what those guys are doing, they're making, like with Rick Ross, for example. Rick Ross was able to defeat the 50 Cent Storm because he put his head down and made good music.
Yeah.
And you couldn't front on it. We were like, yeah, this nigga's cop and all this shit, but that nigga made you feel rich for a minute.
Shout out to the boss, Rick Ross, Jeter K, Whole Slab, the whole MMG empire. One thing about Ross is he definitely found a lane being that next wave to follow in the Miami footsteps of what Uncle Luke and all of them did in terms of just putting it down. You know, of course, you know, Trick Daddy and Trina, you know, shout out to them as well. Slip and Slide, Ted Lucas, you know, the whole crew out there. Ross was definitely that bridge that would kind of come in and definitely make that impact. You know, shout out to Trop and all those guys with MMG as well. Trop Da Vinci, good friend of ours. You know, Ross really, really, really made a – he, like you said, two things about Ross is we affectionately and respectfully say – that Rick Ross character of his is something else. Because that dude is the boss of everything. Everything that dude does is way over the top. And you know what? It works for him. You know, you listen to a Rick Ross album, you feel like you're the richest, you know, boss, kingpin of all things on the block, man. Yeah.
He's going to make for five minutes, he's going to make you feel like a boss.
Nah, lyrics, beat selection, overall, the aesthetics of what it means for what he does to bring to the Ride Game. Shout out to Rick Ross, author, entrepreneur, car show enthusiast. Came up with the illest catchphrase of the year already, and it's still somewhat early. Where's your car, nigga? Oh man, shout out to the boss.
Yo, he's not gonna break kayfabe ever, man. He's not gonna see Big Boss ever show any vulnerability at all.
Man, never.
You ain't gonna see him look at. You ain't going to see him. He's going to keep that character going. This nigga should be a WWE character, man, the way he be committed to that.
He definitely found a lane. You know, when you look at it, over the years, I mean, with the jewelry, the over, you know, the cars. I mean, a larger than life persona, man. I mean, and it's the funny thing about Rose is that he's a likable guy. You know, Rose game is 400 degrees and more if you test him, because we've seen him go back and forth with some people, and he definitely fired up the grill. I'm like, y'all not ready for that temperature if y'all want to cook beef with Rosé, man. That's a setting y'all not necessarily ready for. That dude has a second job.
He's unbothered by it. You can't really beat anybody that's going to be unbothered. Like, he's made his mind up in his character. You're not going to get him off his pivot. That's the challenge.
That's true. And pretty much alongside him, when you look at his new generation, or – you know, fairly new. I mean, when you look at J. Cole, when you look at Kendrick, when you look at Drake, you know, you look at Future, you know, you're seeing this next generation of legends who have come in the game. Whether you like their music or not, everybody out there, you got to admit that the aforementioned names, you know, are some of the most pivotal and consequential in the culture in terms of helping push it forward as well. You know, and it's something that, you know, cannot be understated for their impact. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when we look at the ladies, when we look at, you know, when we look at, you know, Meg, when we look at Cardi, you know, I mean, their impact, you know, how they've been able to come in and do their thing. You know, we look at, you know, Rhapsody. It's so many.
Yeah.
For those that say the culture is dead, no, the culture is thriving. And even if there are some artists out there that you may not necessarily be particularly fond of, we came up in a time, too, where there were artists who we particularly didn't necessarily like. If anybody were to ask the difference, I would tell them, it's just that for some of their antics, they just get more notoriety now because of social media. Where back then, it really wasn't an issue. We didn't like them. Guess what? We didn't listen to them. And it really wasn't an outlet for them to get out there. So it's like anything. You just search for the good hip-hop, and it's there. And that's all you got to do.
That's all there is to it, man. I mean, the lane is a little more wide open than it ever been in terms of ops. Now, what I'm looking at it is, I'm looking at it as most people were casual consumers. That's why they're not really digging for the music now. They were casual consumers even at that time. Just think about it. Everything was hitting on point. You had BET, MTV, all the radio stations, all regions was popping. So therefore, people didn't have to get it. And even with the mixtape market, you had that bubble. So now, the casual consumer is no longer in existence because they were already spoiled. They're not coming back. Now you're left with the music connoisseurs like us. So we can tell you straight up, the scene is popping everywhere, man. We got a lot of new acts coming out. They're bringing new energy to the culture. They're bringing new energy to the game that's needed, and you still got the best. But the casuals, they're gone.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at crews now, you know, like Black Soprano Family, Shada Benny, you know, of course. I mean, Griselda's a whole, you know, Armani Caesar, Rome Street, you know, Street Soprano. I mean, Conway, you know, West Side Gun, Tony De Niro. I mean, it's DJ Zookeeper, the City Boy, the whole crew. I mean, they're the epitome of what it means to have that wave of doing it yourself and building it brick by brick in terms of a following. When we look at artists, shout out to Oakland, the town. Look at, you know, young gunners like Cookie Money putting it down, following the footsteps of the legendary E-40 in Vallejo, of course, Richie Rich, all of those guys, you know, Filthy Rich. It's just amazing to see the young generation, or not even necessarily young, but just the new generation following in the footsteps of the older, of the ones that came before them. And not only that, but showing a respect and a reverence, you know, honoring and preserving tradition and carrying it on in such a distinguished and grand fashion.
Big facts, man, because we gotta set the doors for to be the gatekeepers ourselves and, you know, set an example.
Yeah, and that's important. I think when we it's a conversation that has been had, King, so many times. I don't think it can be overstated because I think everybody has to be reminded of where sometimes the discrepancies come in, where you have a lot of new artists who look at it from a perspective of, as we have said on this show so many times, back in the day, you had to go through a lot to get there, you know, to even be considered to get assigned to a label. You know, as we said so many times, first you had to audition. Then you had to hope they liked it. Then if they liked it, you got signed. Then you had to see if they were going to put up money for a video. Then you had to hope the video got traction to where maybe from the song you might be able to secure an album deal. And then you had to record the album and then you hope the album sells. You know, that's
right.
How it worked back in the day. And now we just see artists, and this is what hip-hop culture is like in terms of what it means. It's about getting it done, doing it yourself, about the voice of the hood being articulated through song and audio, that you were able to do it yourself. We're seeing now in the social media generation that a lot of artists are taking it upon themselves, men and women alike, deciding that, hey, if nobody's going to give me a chance, I'm going to give me a chance. And
right.
Sometimes that brings a certain level of arrogance because they feel like they put themselves on. But no matter what, you got to always remember, you know, because you're in this, you were influenced by somebody to do it, whether you want to admit it or not. So you always pay homage to those who came before you.
Big facts.
You know, it's just like what I was doing. Yeah, just like what I was doing this show. Combat Jack, Thorin Baker, you know, all the authors, all the podcasters that came before us, you know, Reginald C. Dennis, you know, Chloe Coker, you know, from The Source. Who else am I missing? Shucks, man, Elliot Wilson. Can't forget the living legend with him, man. Bones Malone. All those guys. You know, Alan S. Gordon. You know, Kim Osorio. You know, Dream Hampton. All of them. You know, the writers, podcasters, they influenced us to do what we do today with this off-the-cuff thing. And we're proud to follow
That's
and
it.
Acknowledge them as influencers.
Yeah. Now, you know, we might have to pivot this episode here, man, because I don't know, I don't think something happened with Triple D. Hope everything is all right with him. So I've let him know that.
Understood.
We might just reschedule the interview because, you know, something may have happened or something may have went down. Usually things like that happen about recording. So I hit him up and let him know, like, look, man, if anything happens, just, you know, we can just reschedule for next week and, you know, we still knock that thing out. Paul. But
absolutely.
That's what we do. We keep it professional over here because we understand life be life.
Absolutely. And Suge, shout out to Suge Knight and shout out to the realists once again. If y'all are listening, we appreciate the support. Thank you both for being instrumental in terms of pushing the culture forward. We really appreciate y'all.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, so we just wanted to shoot that to them and let them know that we just reschedule for next week. If we can't make it back, it's no big deal. We're gonna, if anything, it's going to be better.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, well, one more thing I got to touch y'all, man. And, you know, I got to touch
go
you
ahead,
before
go
we
ahead.
What is going on with you YouTube? Like, every day, y'all got something going on, man. And within y'all assembly line.
Speak on it.
Like, one minute, man, I'm speaking in general terms right here. And I'm looking at this. This may happen for the past several years.
Mm-hmm.
One minute you niggas is buddies. The next thing, you're doing interviews together. That's your man. Then you're beefing again. Then you're threatening each other on the gram. Y'all change up gimmicks more than WCW, man. Like, y'all think it's 1 minute y'all heels, y'all clicked up, and y'all baby faces, man. Y'all cut it out, man. And if you get what I'm talking about, check out the back and forth going on between Sub-Zero and Gully TV. This shit is comedy. This is comedy on steroids here.
Man, I tell
every
you.
Day, like this, I'm like, then remember how it was a couple years ago with Hassan Campbell and Gully TV, and now they were cool. Now they beefing again. Then it was Shawnetta and Hassan Campbell. Then they met up. Nobody fought. Nobody got their head cracked. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, y'all take y'all. And of course, don't get me started on Whack 100 and Clubhouse. YouTube is the new WWE.
Well, you know how it goes, and we've been blessed to do this show, you know, for 10 years. It's like anything. It's what's going to sell. And if they can find a lane where controversy and fuckery meet, and it can be a situation of where they can bring attention with an audience, they'll do it. I mean, that's just how it goes.
Man, 1 minute the nigga's a homosexual and he's a snitch. Next minute, y'all taking selfies together. Like, what's going on here? Like, you ain't trying to wire that man's jaw. Like, he was talking crazy on YouTube, and now all of a sudden, yeah, we gonna go ahead and power up for the culture.
All that tells me is that the whole thing was really scripted to begin with, for these niggas having issues. Because the reality is,
just like the brick baby Wag 100. I'm like, come on, man, y'all niggas work in the same building. Y'all working no jumper. You mean to tell me y'all ain't squabble?
And if we really get on the street level, understanding how it goes, I'm like, the fact is like both of those. I mean, you talking about Pyru and 60. You know, this is the fact that this shit is really going to go to a next level. I'm like, hey, really no talking. And I'm not casting aspersions on either one of them, you know, about their gangster. You know, I'm not going to say either one is scared. But I'm like, y'all know what it means if y'all really want to go heads up with each other. Y'all understand what that is.
Niggas is crashing out on Adam 22's podcast, man.
But, we'll say it here, you know, for all everybody out there who wants to get into these unnecessary dramas and beefs with people, talking about what they're going to do to somebody, you know, impact at your own peril. Because once you crash, you ain't responsible about how that crash comes in terms of the damage. If you don't like somebody, you don't have to acknowledge them. Don't say nothing about them.
Right.
It's situations, and I think a lot of times with a public platform, there's a lot of nigga moments. I'm going to just be blunt.
Too many nigga moments.
And I say this seriously because in the race to try to diss, somebody going to catch a dead end before they cross that finish line, and they're going to get fatalized on it.
Niggas going to shoot the... Like, y'all ain't shooting a fade or nothing.
And the fact is, they're gonna shoot, but it ain't gonna be no fade. It's gonna be some real rounds coming. And I think a lot of individuals need to understand this. At the core of it, these are real people with real feelings. And when you cross that line with certain individuals, you don't know how that's gonna come back on you. Everybody can think it's funny in terms of, you know, jokes and this, that, and the other until somebody gets hurt behind it. And the reality is, as I just said, you really don't have to go there with somebody on air. And I'm like, if there's really an issue, nigga, go handle that shit. Throw the hands if that's really what it is, if y'all really got problems. But don't get online with some kayfabe, you know, kumbaya, you know, and y'all really can't stand each other, or even a kayfabe, you know, beef. You know, either y'all get along or y'all don't. And don't insult the people's intelligence. Either y'all going to piece up or y'all going to pound it out. Which is it going to be?
Big facts, man. We just had to drop some gems on us, man. But we about to wrap up this hour. We going to definitely line up some big shows coming in the coming weeks. So we letting y'all know.
Absolutely.
We're going to have some surprises in the cook. So be on the lookout for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. Salute to Triple D Younger Than The Realest. We're going to definitely line this thing up again probably next week or the week after. We just getting started, y'all.
Let's get it. Till next time, peace and blessings. Thank you all for listening.
All right, we out.
Peace. One.